అవసరం బంతే. వీ హ్యావ్ ఫోర్ క్వశ్చన్స్ టుడే. క్వశ్చన్ నంబర్ 1 of 4, దిస్ ఇస్ ఆన్ మైండ్ఫుల్ సిట్టింగ్. డియర్ బంతే, ఐఎమ్ వెరీ గ్రేట్ఫుల్ ఫర్ యువర్ గైడెన్స్. ఇన్ మై పర్సనల్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ద బాడీ స్కాన్ అండ్ ఇట్స్ కామింగ్ ఇఫెక్ట్ రాపిడ్లీ మేక్స్ మీ అవేర్ ఆఫ్ ద సౌండ్ ఆఫ్ సైలెన్స్. ఐ రికాల్ దట్ వన్ ఆఫ్ మై క్వశ్చన్స్ ఆన్ ద సౌండ్ ఆఫ్ సైలెన్స్, ఐ ఇఫ్ ఐ షుడ్ యూస్ ఇట్ యాజ్ అన్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ మెడిటేషన్. Bante advised me not to use the sound of silence for meditation, but just keep it in the periphery of my awareness and pay attention to the breath. Could Bante please explain to me the reason for the selection of breath, which is a cyclic change in sensation as opposed to sound of silence and the body scan, which are constant sensations, i.e. not cyclically changing? Are changing sensations such as footfall and breathing superior to constant or static sensations? That's the end of the question.
So superior. Interesting, by the way. So here also, I mean, we are trying to put some importance to certain concepts, and certain concepts we select. So in a way, it is true. So we are selecting certain concepts. So ultimately, they give a kind of a thorough understanding. You know that the breath and all the other phenomena, say breath and rising and falling, hardness, softness, various feelings, and you know, sometimes we call them as phenomena, we call them as feelings, we call them as perceptions. Now they are all conditioned phenomena. So to vipassana, what we are taking as the objects are the conditioned phenomena. So breath is such a conditioned phenomena. Rising and falling is such a conditioned phenomena. Various element characteristics are such conditioned phenomena. Feelings are such conditioned phenomena. Perceptions are such conditioned phenomena. Thoughts, emotions, intentions are all these conditioned phenomena. So these are the various areas we are using for our vipassana. But on the other hand, sound of silence is a result of our practice. So it is not consisting of any, it is also conditioned. We don't need to think that it is it is unconditioned. It is also conditioned, but relatively, it is quite easy to take certain phenomena which are, you know, practically easy to contemplate, practically easy to see their true nature. By seeing their true nature, our wisdom may grow. So, sound of silence is appear like kind of background. It appears in the background and we are simply continuing our practice. So, the interesting thing is as we continue, so the inner silence may grow and ultimately even the sound of silence can disappear. So, we don't need to worry about sound of silence too much. So, your questions appear like you are giving too importance to sound of silence. So later, the interesting thing is as we are thoroughly understanding the true nature of various phenomena, so mind may sort of lifted up beyond those conditioned phenomena and it get released, or it can experience as a kind of a temporary release. So while in the temporary release, sound of silence also you can hear, but that is not the important thing. So we are trying to make the mind release, not just because to hear the sound of silence. Rather, the mind has understood the conditioned nature of various phenomena, the impermanent nature of conditioned phenomena, or the suffering nature of conditioned phenomena, non-self nature of conditioned phenomena, non-governability of conditioned phenomena. So those are the disadvantages. Those are the danger. So by seeing that danger, okay, mind has let go of that. Mind has abandoned that. Letting go has happened. So mind has released. Mind has, because mind simply doesn't want to hold it anymore. So the release has happened. So that's why more we do that thorough investigation, it generates certain amount of wisdom. That wisdom helps us to abandon. Wisdom help us to generate kind of a dispassion, and that dispassion, through that dispassion, okay, the relinquishment happen. So that's the typical formula that we are working on.
Question number 2 of 4. This is on mindful walking. Dear Bante, when I do walking mindfulness practice, after 10 to 15 minutes, I get sleepy and lethargic. This happens all the time if I put substantial time and effort to the walking practice. I can still be aware of the impact of foot touching the ground, but there are no details in any of the sensations. I feel like a drunken sleepy man. However, if I hold on to the small amount of awareness I have without stopping, this feeling goes off after 10 to 15 rounds and I come to a clear, energized, attentive mode again. Thought of informing Bante and seek guidance if I need to adjust anything in the technique. With metta, that's the end of the question.
So while you are working, if you feel a little tired by putting some intense attention to this phenomena, then better relax. Rather than putting too much energy, too much effort, you better release the mind. Allow it to, you know, step back. Because sometimes at the beginning, actually, we need to thoroughly pay attention, closely pay attention, and to see the kind of the proper nature of that. It will show its true behavior. So now, as a result of that, now mind is growing, or the wisdom is growing. So as wisdom is growing, so there is a natural detachment going to grow. So that has to happen. And we should not, forcefully again put it into the picture, forcefully again put our attention into the phenomena. Rather, we better allow the mind to somewhat relax, allow the mind to release, maintain a little distance. Previously, there was no much distance. It was closely, carefully associating, observing its true nature. But now, slowly, slowly, that distance is increasing. So mind is now looking at it more from a distant. It don't want to get involved. It don't want to get interfered. So at that moment, if you are trying to interfere or if you want to closely analyze, then you feel tired. Now, in yourself, you can see. So where are you, depending on how you feel like. So if you are carefully trying to do analysis, if you feel tiresome, then don't do that. Simply allow the mind to rest. On the other hand, mind itself is doing careful attention, careful observation. Let it do that. Because it still, it wants that learning curve. It's going through that investigation curve. So, and happily it is doing it. And that is also necessary. So we don't need to jump quickly to the ready state. Rather, we need to sort of thoroughly learn from all these different phenomena. So let it learn from, go through that learning curve. I hope I answered the question.
Question number 3 of 4. This is based on the Dhamma sermon. Dear Bante, we have learned a lot about prapancha through your Dhamma sermon series these days. A small scale prapancha, which I understood as vitakka vichara, is used in a controlled manner to gain the concentration and insights in meditation practice. Bante highlighted that after some time in mindfulness practice, we don't need vitakka vichara to just be aware of the present moment. Is it possible to understand and discern anything new without vitakka vichara? With metta, that's the end of the question.
Yeah. So actually, that's an interesting question. So the vitakka vichara has many different levels, we can say. So vitakka vichara in the gross level, we can say it is an inner chatter. Kind of a thinking is going on. So again and again, we are putting our attention to one aspect and somewhat examining that. We are putting our attention to another aspect and examining that. So kind of a thinking is going on. Internally, thinking is going on. Mind is involved in thinking. But on the other hand, there are, as you have pointed out, there are situations that we don't need to think. Basically, you have done thinking. Your analysis part is completed now. Now you want to relax. Now if you have that capacity, when you want to think, okay, you have the freedom to think. But once you have thought about it, so why are you thinking further? We have to have the capacity, okay, I don't need to think because I have thought about it, I found the solution. So let me keep the mind quiet. So at that moment, we can't say there is vitakka vichara. Rather, now we come to a kind of a clarity of the mind, kind of a transparency of the mind, stillness of the mind, because there is nothing to think. We understand, okay, no point of thinking now. Let me give a rest to the mind. Let me enjoy the silence. So at that moment, we can drop vitakka vichara. So therefore, point is that we can make use of vitakka vichara, and the gross level is inner chatter, and we can stop that, and we can use vitakka vichara effectively using meditation, like say we are applying our mind to a particular object like breath and observing that carefully. So that is the breath, the vichara. So likewise, we are skillfully using vitakka and vichara during the meditation, and ultimately we come to a stage where we don't even want to do that. Let's keep the mind quiet. Let's mean keep the mind still, without making it somewhat restless or shaky. Just relax. It's a kind of a stage-wise process, step-wise process, a progressive stages that we are talking here.
Question number 4 of 4. This again a Dhamma Sermon question. Dear Bhante, regarding the stage 1 of the process, I am form, causes I consciousness, and these three together cause the contact. This seems quite aligned with our perception of existing I am, existing form. I have heard that this process is happening in reverse as well, that there is no definite existing I and form. Appreciate if Bhante can comment if it is relevant here. With metta, that's the end of the question.
So that is also, now here we are talking of how a typical worlding is going through this whole thing, and we can't simply do what we are talking immediately. So there may be a situation, even though I is there, form is there, still conceptual proliferation does not happen, thinking does not happen, mind is not interested of thinking about it. So that may be possible. So at that time, we can say chakku ayatana is not operating. And the chakkayatana is not operating. And the rupayatana is also not operating. So as a result of that, the other resultant parts are also not going to appear. So that there are the generation of too much thinking and its involvement, entanglement. So that is the various kinds of activities typically going on in the ayatana level. Chakka ayatana, rupa ayatana, sota ayatana, sadda ayatana, ghana ayatana, gandha ayatana. So likewise, in the ayatana point of view. So they are like departments. They are like, kind of actively participating entities. So they dynamically, continuously do something. So we are geared to do something. So we can't simply stop by seeing. At the stage of seeing, we can't stop. We can't apply brakes. We are continuously thinking on this direction, that direction, and we are, very much like geared to think. So that is the ayatana level. But on the other hand, once we are able to stop that, that means it does not come to the ayatana level. It is merely very much like in certain suttas, there is Kama Guna Sutta, Buddha mentioned, Chakkuncha Nirujjati Rupa Sanyacha Virajjati. Say Ayatane Veditabhi. So there may be a stage, Chakkuncha Nirujjati, so that the Ayatana type of activity, type of active participation of the I is now Nirujjati, it is now ceasing. Even though I is there, the function of seeing is very much like faded away. Even though your eye is there, so the you know, interested participation of the I. Typically, I want to think. EYE wants to gratify. Ear wants to gratify. Nose wants kind of a set gratification. Tongue wants kind of a gratification. The body wants some kind of a gratification. So we are continuously trying to gratify our five senses or six senses. We are trying to gratify. So there may be a stage where that gratification is not necessary. Even though eye is there, even though ear is there, tongue is there, nose is there, body is there, mind is there. So now one is operating at a different level. So that is what Buddha is asking us to know. Where the cessation of these ayatanas are coming to the effect. Cessation is happening. Now you are waking up to a different level. Say ayatane meditapa. You need to know that ayatana. You need to know that what we call the release of the mind. Kind of stillness of the mind. Not involvement of the mind. So that's an interesting area. So you can further explore that. We are no more accumulating things through the eyes, through the ears. We are no more accumulating things. We are no more agitating the mind through the sensory impingements. So at that moment, we can say, okay, they are very much like cool, calm, relaxed. They are not partaking into anything, into this sensory, say, activities. Even though they are healthy, available, but their function is somewhat subsided.
So, we've come to the end of the written questions. There's one person who's raised their hand. We have a few minutes, Bhante. I'll allow them to talk.
Okay.
Ashini, you can unmute yourself.
Taran Sanai, Swaminhansa. I have a problem of overthinking. I've been trying to overcome it for 2 years, but gradually it seems it's improving day by day. Although I have been meditating for 2 years now, it didn't cease. And I just did several kind of meditation also to stop that. But it seems that it is improving. Please help me to stop overthinking, Swaminhansa.
Yeah, I think the walking meditation would be the best answer. So, I mean, while walking, try to pay attention to the sensation. Say, when your right foot is touching the ground, just try to pay attention to that sensation. When your left foot is touching the ground, pay attention to that sensation. So don't worry about thinking at that level. You can't immediately fight with the thinking, or you can't immediately confront thinking. Rather, what we are trying to do is kind of deviate our attention onto something useful. And we are improving our knowing capacity rather than the thinking proliferating capacity. So that's why that's a kind of a strategy here we are using in the walking meditation. So as much as possible, just walk barefooted. And when your right foot is touching, there is a gross sensation. Try to pay more attention to that. When your left foot is touching, just pay more attention to that. So that is one practical area where you can practice. So more and more your attention is fairly drawn to that. Your mind is fairly concentrated to that. Probably you can now say, now the thinking has gone somewhat far away. Thinking is there, but not that strong. It has gone some to the background. So that is one area you can understand. One area that you can involve with practically to reduce thinking. On the other hand, when thinking is going on, now say mind is thinking something useless. Probably you can understand, I mean, no point of thinking like this. Incident has happened. It's already has happened. So you can't correct it now. And it has already gone. No point of regretting about it. Rather, regretting about it, I can correct the mistake. Assume that you are regretting about a kind of a mistake you have done. So rather than regretting about it, one solution is you are correcting yourself. I'm not going to do that mistake again. And I'm not encouraging thinking, or I'm not trying to accuse myself. I'm not going to generate any kind of a self-hate. Rather, I am now trying to correct myself. Opportunity is available. So opening up is available. You are forgiving yourself. And without regretting, you are now trying to avoid doing the same mistake again. So that is another area you can start doing. And if there are any mistakes that you have done, just forgive yourself. Now, on the other hand, if you are planning too much about the future, that is also probably a waste of time, because we don't know what's really going to happen. It's utter waste of time if you are too much thinking, too much planning about this. So likewise, you can use many mechanisms to reduce thinking, overthinking basically, so that you are experiencing some kind of a peace in your mind.
Thank you very much, Vante. Merits for you. Teruvan Sarnai Swaminathan.
Yeah.
No, we have come to the end of the program. We only have about 2 more minutes. So I think we can end the program for today, Bhante.
Yeah, okay.
So to end the program, I would first like to thank Bhante for his valuable time, even with the busy schedule at the monastery. To all the supporters of this program, both seen and unseen, and to the participants for joining today to practice and share their questions. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Teruvan Sarnai.
Yeah, Teruvan Sarnai. Teruvan Sarnai.